Welcome to episode number 459 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. Keep the five-star reviews coming there. We always appreciate that. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. I like to throw out questions to you over the course of the podcast, and you can respond on Twitter at the Sports RPT. 30 to 40 minutes, fast pace, high energy, opinionated sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. And we have a lot of topics to get to. The NFL Combine, the NBA, college hoops, little baseball, some NASCAR, some golf as well. I'll be honest, if you're looking for somebody to break down the NFL Combine, I am not your guy. I like to call it the Spandex Olympics. But I do have a couple of stories from the Combine to dive into. Mark Cuban sure knows how to stir the pot, doesn't he? He took another jab at Russell Westbrook over the weekend. I'll explain. The calendar says March, which means I'm a happy camper. I am a college hoops junkie. The NCAA tournament's my favorite sports event. The first weekend of action is phenomenal. 4 days of true bliss. And I have made up my mind on who I'm picking to win it all this year. I was leaning this way for a few weeks. Now I am locked in. I'll reveal my pick, which is a pick you certainly want to stay away from. And I'll get you caught up on what's been happening in the power conferences as we enter conference championship week and take a look at the bubble. The World Baseball Classic is underway. Does anybody care? Will you be watching the World Baseball Classic? We'll get into that as well. All on episode number 459 of the Sports Report podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in with you every Monday on The Grizz. That is GrizzlyProductions.tv and in the podcast section of iTunes. I said before, I don't get into the NFL Combine. I don't watch any of it. I don't need to watch the broad jump, the shuttle run, the three cone drill. Oh, what would life be without the three cone drill? Or any of the other drills that we used to do at field day in junior high. You know what I watch? I watch games, okay? That's how I decide if a guy can play or not. What did you do in pads on the field on Saturdays? Not in spandex without pads on. Just because somebody's a combine king does not mean they're a great football player. I think way too much stock is put into the combine and measurables, things like hand size. Seriously? Is this like George Costanza from Seinfeld when he wanted to be a hand model? My advice, watch the game film and then decide on a kid. Not the spandex Olympics. Not the cone drill, the shuttle run, the broad jump. Watch the games and then tell me whether or not a guy can play. I got a good laugh out of all the media bobbleheads who were questioning Leonard Fournette, the running back out of LSU. They were squawking about him being too heavy, that he put too much weight on. And then he goes out and he runs a 4.5 40. The same time as Dalvin Cook from Florida State. Cook weighs 210, Fournette weighed in at 240, and he ran the same time, 4.5. 30 pounds heavier, ran the same time. And I like Cook a lot too. But Fournette said, hey, bobbleheads, put that in your pipe and smoke it. I mean, the guy averaged 6.5 yards a carry in each of the last 2 years playing in the SEC. I think he's all right. He ran for 284 yards and 3 touchdowns against Ole Miss last year. I've watched him enough in actual games as opposed to the spandex Olympics to know that this guy's a stud when he's healthy. I mean, I can't tell you how many guys I've seen him just run over, just bulldoze playing for LSU. And I like Cook too. A lot of people think Cook may go mid first round. Eagles, Colts, right in that area, both could use a running back. Let's get to Reuben Foster, the linebacker out of Alabama. He sent a letter to NFL teams apologizing for the incident that led to his dismissal from the combine. Foster reportedly got into an altercation with a hospital worker on Friday and was sent home. He was waiting, and apparently he had been waiting for a little while for the pre-exam, and he was not real patient and then started questioning one of the workers in the hospital. Well, the worker did not take real well to Foster, and eventually the two were allegedly face-to-face in a heated exchange. Now, Foster says nothing happened. He posted an Instagram video on Saturday, and he deflected questions to his teammates, saying they'll tell you nothing happened. Ask them about it. But he did issue the apology, which I think is a smart move. Is this a big deal to me? No, not really. But that is the right move. Foster was Alabama's leading tackler last season, which says a lot, playing on that defense. He was a unanimous first-team All-American, also won the Butkus Award, which goes to the best linebacker in the country. So pretty darn good. Could be a top 10 pick. You don't want to mess that up, so issue the apology. He's coming off of rotator cuff surgery in his right shoulder, so he wasn't going to take part in the drills at the combine anyway. And he did say that he'll speak to any team that wants to talk to him on Tuesday, which is the day before Alabama's pro day. Now, I'm certainly not condoning Foster's behavior, whatever happened, far from it. But, and this is a fat Albert-sized but, for the people who actually think that this is going to impact his draft status, I've got two words for you. Laramie Tunsil. Now, this isn't the WWE. I wasn't going to throw those two words at you. Laramie Tunsil. Remember the video that was posted to Tunsil smoking from a gas mask bong? I mean, I didn't even know that thing existed. I've seen Up in Smoke with Cheech and Chong. I don't remember the gas mask bong. This was totally bizarre. And it's happening on live TV, and everybody's wondering what the blank is going on with this kid. And you know what? He slipped a little bit, but it wasn't this free fall that some had projected. Miami still took him at number 13. So he didn't even go out of the first round. He didn't even fall to late first round. He went at number 13 to the Miami Dolphins. A bottom line here is, if you can play, then somebody's going to give you a shot. It's just that simple. And I don't believe the incident with Reuben Foster is anything like Tunsil. So I don't see this impacting his draft stock whatsoever. Another story from the combine that caught my eye was John Ross. I mean, there's fast, and then there's John Ross fast. Wide receiver out of Washington, ran a 4.2240 on Saturday. And that time broke Chris Johnson's record, and that guy could fly. Johnson ran a 4.24 back in 2008. Unfortunately, Ross said he got tight at the end of the 40, and he did not do any more drills. He's not a big wide receiver, about 5'11", 190. Only had one great season at Washington. But some team is going to take him higher than originally thought because of that 4.2240. 81 catches, 1,150 yards, 17 touchdowns last season for the Huskies. He was quiet in the Peach Bowl against Alabama, 5 catches, only 28 yards. But Alabama's defense was sick. I mean, they shut down a lot of really, really good players. So how much of the combine did you watch? How many hours? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT on Twitter. And we're all starving for NFL coverage. You know, the Super Bowl was the last game we got, so there really hasn't been anything since then. And people start to get a little anxious, and they go nuts over the combine. Not me. I'm watching college hoops. Sorry, I am. I'm not taking part in the Spandex Olympics. But what about you? Let me know on Twitter, at TheSportsRPT. You may recall Mavericks owner Mark Cuban, and I'm a big, big fan of the TV show Shark Tank. I've said it before, I'll say it again, so let me point that out right off the top here. But Mark Cuban said Russell Westbrook was not a superstar last season. And you know what happened then? Mr. Westbrook decided to drop 36 on Mr. Cuban's team. 36 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists in Game 5 to eliminate Dallas last year in the first round of the NBA playoffs. Well, Cuban is at it again. On Sunday, he said that the MVP battle is a toss-up between James Harden, LeBron James, and Kawhi Leonard also deserves mention. He was asked, where's Westbrook in the mix? And Cuban said, he's not. Now, you know what type of season Westbrook is having. I mean, he's going nuts. He's off the charts. He's on pace to join the Big O, Oscar Robertson, as the only players in NBA history to average a triple-double for the season. Westbrook leads the NBA in scoring, almost 32 points a game. He's third in assists at 10 a game. And he's number 12 in rebounding, almost 11 boards a game. However, the Thunder are 35-28 and on pace to fall short of 50 wins. And in Cuban's mind, that's the number that a player needs to get his team to in order to be considered a superstar, much less an MVP candidate. Cuban said, quote, the criteria hasn't changed, and if I changed my mind, it would ruin all the fun for you guys. And he did say this with a smile. So he knows that he's stirring the pot a little bit here. But I thought, let's take a look at the stats of these MVP candidates. You just heard Westbrook's numbers. 32 points, 10 assists, 11 rebounds. Harden's at 29 points, 11 assists. He is leading the NBA in that category. And people know he can score. I mean, he can score every which way possible. But to see him double-digit assists, wow. And he gives you 8 rebounds. Now, the knock on Harden's the turnovers. He turns it over 6 times a game. You'd like to see that down. LeBron is having one of his best years. I mean, you have to include LeBron here. I laugh when people talk about, well, how many more years does he have? Do you think he's going to retire soon? Why? The guy's dominating. Speaking of the NFL Combine, he's built like a linebacker. He's averaging 26 points, 9 assists, which is a career high, 8 rebounds, also a career high. And he's shooting 54% from the field. Now, you know I love efficiency, so I got to give you that number too. 54% for the King. As for Leonard, and what you're not going to see in the box score is his defense. He is an elite defensive player. He is one of the best, if not the best, defenders in the NBA right now. So you get that defense, you get 26 points. Now, the assist department is where he's not even close to the other guys. Leonard only averages 3 assists per game and 6 rebounds. So how are their teams doing? We told you about Oklahoma City, 35-28. That's the number 7 seed out west. Houston and Cleveland, very similar. Houston's 44-19. Cleveland's 42-19. And then you have the Spurs at 48-13. Now, one positive, I think, for Harden is when you look at the Rockets, outside of Eric Gordon, who's scoring about 17 a night, and now you have Lou Williams, who came over from the Lakers and is having an incredible season for him. But how much does Harden really have around him in Houston? And you could say the same thing about Westbrook in Oklahoma City, but Harden's team has 9 more wins than Westbrook's. So I would probably go Harden 1, LeBron 2 as of right now. That's probably how I would vote if I'm picking the MVP. What do you think? Let me know on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT on Twitter. Who should be the MVP? The bearded one? And do you give him bonus points for that facial hair? I mean, you could lose a small child in there. Maybe even a small car, you know, like one of those old VW bugs. I mean, that is impressive. Now, I always thought it would be just too itchy. I mean, I have to shave literally like every other day. I mean, I could grow a beard, no problem. But for work, I don't know how professional it would be to look like that. I mean, that's like Rip Van Winkle. I mean, you've been asleep for 100 years. Grizzly Adams right there. So I don't know if you give him bonus points for the beard. But Harden, James, Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook, maybe you want to throw another name into the mix. Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. You know how much I love college basketball. Sunday afternoon, I am willing to admit this. I'm raising my hand right now. I was glued to the Patriot League semifinals. Not even the championship game. The Patriot League semis. And I'm watching every minute. This is not a joke. Now, some of my best friends went to Bucknell. So I always keep tabs on the Bison. And one of the top high school players in my area plays for Bucknell. Nana Fallon. Big guy. Soft touch. Really good jump hook. Patriot League Player of the Year this season. Also the Defensive Player of the Year in the Patriot League. Really, really improved since his high school days. So I was focused on Bucknell Navy, and the Bison held on. So they'll play Lehigh in the championship game, and then the winner gets to go dancing. So that's exciting. As for the big dance, I've decided who I'm picking to cut the nets down and win it all. So again, you probably don't want to take this team in your bracket. And Selection Sunday is coming up this week. Can't wait. So 1 week at this time, we'll have brackets in our hand. Love the brackets. So write this team down and don't take them, because knowing my luck, they'll probably get bounced in the first weekend. But I'm going with North Carolina. And I've liked them for a while now, but the win over Duke Saturday night sealed the deal for me. I mean, that was a phenomenal game between arch rivals, and the Tar Heels sealed the deal in crunch time. I mean, down the stretch, they were the better team. Joel Berry, 28 points, including 7 straight late in the game. I love him at the point guard spot. Carolina won it 90-83. 24 lead changes, 14 ties. The final margin of 7, that was the biggest lead for either team all night. Back to Barry, 9 of 14 from the field, and he knocked down all 5 of his 3s. Carolina shot 51%. Blue Devils went to the foul line over and over and over and over again. 35 free throw attempts for Duke. They made 28. But they missed 4 in the final 3.5 minutes. And 3 of those were by Grayson Allen, who had 14 points and also a technical foul for hitting Brandon Robinson in the head with an elbow. And then after that, of course, the boos really came down, as if he hasn't been booed enough this season. Grayson Allen, a.k.a. Jack Tripper. So he was just hearing all the boos, and nothing new there for him. He's like public enemy number 1 anywhere he goes. Luke Kennard, the lefty, had 28. Really smooth player. I think he's a candidate for player of the year for Duke. And the greatest was in the building. Michael Jordan, former Tar Heel. I love seeing the reaction on the kids' faces in the crowd, the students at Carolina, when he came out. I mean, it was like they saw a Greek god, like Zeus, came down from the heavens and was on the floor at Chapel Hill. I mean, they were just in shock. Now, this is why I like UNC. I got several reasons here. Star power is one. Point guard play is another. Size. And you have a veteran head coach. And if you want to throw in battle-tested, you can do that as well, playing in the ACC. As for star power, you have Justin Jackson, who's averaging 18 a game, and Barry, who I've already talked about, who is a fearless point guard. Wants the ball in crunch time, willing to take and make big shots. He's shooting 43% from three. And then the size. You have Kennedy Meeks, and you have Isaiah Hicks. Hicks had 21 against Duke. And you have a versatile player in Theo Pinson, who can guard multiple positions, does a little bit of everything. You have a Hall of Fame coach in Roy Williams. Now, there's a lot of parity again this season in college basketball. I've said it before. I think 10 to maybe 15 teams can win the national championship. I really do. But give me the Heels. Give me UNC. Who do you like to win it all? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT on Twitter. Let's run down where things stand in the power conferences. If you're not a big college basketball fan, I'll get you caught up here. We'll start with the ACC, and this conference is loaded like a college kid on his 21st birthday. I mean, if Wake Forest can get in, they could get 10 teams. That's right. And Wake Forest beat Louisville and Virginia Tech last week. But North Carolina finished two games ahead of anybody else in the ACC, which is pretty impressive when you look at the depth in there. Last year, the ACC put a record six teams in the Sweet 16. They had half the Elite Eight, and they had half the Final Four. And this year, they could very well get 10 teams. So North Carolina is your number one seed. Pac-12 has three national title contenders, Oregon, Arizona, UCLA. The Ducks are the number one seed. That tournament is out in Vegas, by the way. Not a bad place to have a conference tournament. Oregon beat Oregon State big on Saturday, 80-59, to share the regular season title with Arizona. But these teams played head-to-head early February, and it was all Oregon. They blew out Arizona 85-58. So Oregon gets the number one seed. Arizona's the two seed. UCLA, the three seed. UCLA can score with anybody. They're a really fun team to watch if you haven't seen them yet, with Lonzo Ball at the point guard spot. Now, his dad isn't bashful, is he? Man, oh man, talking about Steph Curry would have a tough time guarding his son. I mean, geez, you calling out an MVP in the NBA? I wonder about UCLA on the defensive end, though. They do score a lot. They can also give up a lot of points. Oregon has Dylan Brooks. They also have some good size. So that's a team to be careful of, too. As for the Big 12, you know, we're talking Kansas. I mean, just pick them every single year. The Jayhawks locked up their 13th straight Big 12 regular season title. They beat a pretty good Oklahoma State team on Saturday, 90-85. Oklahoma State's on the bubble. I would put them in. I mean, if just going by the eye test, what I saw against Kansas, I mean, they took Kansas right down to the wire. So I would put Oklahoma State in. Villanova's your number one seed in the Big East tournament. Kentucky's your number one seed in the SEC tournament. They had to come back a couple times. They were down 19 against Vanderbilt and down 15 early at Texas A&M, and they won both those games. In the Big Ten, Purdue won the conference outright. The Boilermakers were two games ahead of both Maryland and Wisconsin. Wisconsin really struggled down the stretch. You know, I live in Penn State country, so I see a lot of the Big Ten. Outside of Purdue, I thought Wisconsin would be better, really did. Maryland, to me, was much, much better last year. Michigan State definitely having a down year. Michigan is okay, nothing special. then they have some other bubble teams too. Speaking of the bubble, Joe Lunardi, who does a great job with bracketology on ESPN, he has my alma mater, the Cuse, in as a number 11 seed. So I am thrilled right now. I was so nervous over the weekend with the Orange playing Georgia Tech because I thought whoever loses that game is out. And the Orange not only won, they won by 29. They just stomped Georgia Tech. So he has Cuse in. Here are Joe Lunardi's last four in. Xavier, Wake Forest, who I talked about, USC, and Illinois State at 27-6. And I'm glad he puts them in, and I hope they do get in. They lost to Wichita State by 20 in the Missouri Valley Tournament Championship game. But these teams split in the regular season, and Wichita State's really good. It's a different cast of characters. You don't have Van Vliet and Baker anymore, but they're still good. And Illinois State's one of those mid-major teams I would like to see get in. I would rather see that type of team get in than another mediocre power conference team. So I do hope that Illinois State gets in and is rewarded for what they did over the course of the whole season. You know, earlier I said the combine is overrated. Well, in college basketball, the tournament championships are overrated. To me, what you did over the course of the whole season is much more important and should be more valuable than what you did in a week. Last four out for Lunardi, Rhode Island, Kansas State, Illinois, and Iowa. Couple more Big Ten teams there that don't wow you. So that's a look at the Bubble Watch. Let me know who you think is going to win it all on Twitter at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT on Twitter. Moving right along here on episode 459 of the Sports Report podcast. I'm Paul Roberts. Thanks for tuning in every Monday. Keep those five-star reviews coming. I want to thank my buddy Josh, wrote a really, really nice five-star review about the podcast. So I thank him and everyone who takes time to send those five-star reviews. If you're listening in the podcast section of iTunes, just type in the Sports Report with Paul Roberts and voila, the show will come right up there with you every Monday. You know, I'm a big baseball fan, played it as a little kid, always followed it very closely. But I have a hard time getting into the World Baseball Classic. And I don't think I'm alone. Because when I bring it up to my friends, I don't get much of a reaction at all. And part of the reason is not all the best players are competing. You know, I was looking at Japan's roster, for example. Now, this is the team that won it in 2006, which was the first edition of the event. They won it again in 2009. Japan could have a really, really good starting rotation, but Darvish, Tanaka, Maeda, and Iwakuma aren't pitching. None of those guys are pitching. Question, how many of you even know who won the last World Baseball Classic? It was in 2013. Do you know? I'll give you a second here. I doubt it. I'd be surprised if most people, even sports fans, could come up with it. The answer is the Dominican Republic. And they've got quite a lineup this year with Cano, Machado, Cruz, Santana, Beltre. Each one of those guys hit over 30 homers last season. Cruz had 43 bombs. And the Dominican Republic also has Jose Bautista, Starling Marte, Gregory Polanco. So they are considered the favorite. The U.S. has never finished better than fourth. Some of the guys on this year's squad are Giancarlo Stanton, Paul Goldschmidt, Ian Kinsler, Daniel Murphy, Nolan Arenado, Aaron McCutcheon. The starting pitchers are Chris Archer, Tanner Roark, Marcus Stroman, and Danny Duffy. They do have pitch limits for these guys, so they don't ruin their arms for the Major League Baseball season. In the bullpen, Andrew Miller. How tough is that guy? Luke Gregerson, David Robertson, Sam Dyson. Those are some of the relievers that you're going to see for the U.S. team. And I think they have a decent shot. I could see them getting to the championship round. The U.S. will open up against Colombia on Friday night, and then the U.S. will play the Dominican Republic Saturday night. That'll be a big game right there. All of them are on MLB Network if you want to watch. The championship round is at Dodger Stadium, which is cool, March 20th to the 22nd. First game of the tournament was Israel and South Korea, and it went extra innings. Israel beat South Korea 2-1 in 10. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being extremely interested and 1 not interested in the least, how interested are you in the World Baseball Classic? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. 1 to 10, how interested? A Red Sox fan's got some good news about David Price. The star lefty does not need surgery on his left elbow. He met with Dr. James Andrews, who said he expected it to be a lot worse than it really was, so Price was happy about that. They shut him down 7 to 10 days, and they'll reevaluate him after that. But Boston fans have been thinking about this rotation with Price, who won 17 games last year. Rick Porcello was 22-4 with a 3.15 ERA, which is tremendous in the American League. And then the new acquisition, Chris Sale from the White Sox. And Sale is downright nasty. I mean, he's been in the top five in Cy Young voting for 4 consecutive years. 2 years ago, listen to this. In 208 innings, Sale struck out 274. That is bonkers right there. I mean, the guy is filthy. Price and Porcello have already won Cy Young Awards. And Boston also has Stephen Wright, the knuckleballer, and Drew Pomerantz, and they were both All-Stars last year. So that is one heck of a rotation. We will keep our eye on David Price, though, to see what happens there. Let's get to a little NASCAR and some golf to wrap up episode 459 of the Sports Report podcast. Brad Keselowski won at Atlanta Motor Speedway, but everybody was talking about Kevin Harvick. Harvick had the best car. He won the first two stages. You know, they have this new format now where you have different stages so you can get points earlier on. He won the first two stages. He led 293 of the 325 laps. But a speeding penalty on pit road pushed Harvick to the back of the lead pack with 11 laps to go, and he had to settle for ninth place. I mean, talk about frustrating. Harvick clearly had the fastest car and a speeding penalty. I mean, aren't you supposed to go fast? But not on pit road, kids. Burn you every time. So he ends up ninth. Keselowski wins it. Kyle Larson was second. Matt Kenseth took third down in Hot Atlanta. To golf, Dustin Johnson won the World Golf Championships in Mexico City. He is the number one ranked player in the world. Ended up 14 under, one shot ahead of Tommy Fleetwood of England. Now, I'm not a big golf fan, but I know a lot of the players. I never heard of Tommy Fleetwood. Have you? I've heard of Fleetwood Mac, not Tommy Fleetwood. Johnson posted a final round of 3 under 68. He won for the fifth time in his last 15 starts on the PGA Tour. This guy's tearing it up right now. It is his fourth World Golf Championship title. Only Tiger Woods has more. Rory McIlroy and Phil Mickelson wound up 4 shots back. They both shot 71 on Sunday, even par. And the scary thing is that Dustin Johnson did not play his best golf. He still won in a good field. So he is going to be one of the favorites for sure at the Masters. And I'm looking forward to that. So, man, college basketball, the NBA, little baseball, golf, NASCAR, the NFL Combine. Covered it all in 35 minutes here on the Sports Report podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. Tell your friends, your family members, your buddies, your coworkers, if you're into sports, check out the show with you every Monday. You can respond to the questions I threw out on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Do you pay attention to the Combine, the World Baseball Classic? who should be the MVP in the NBA, and who's going to win it all in college basketball. I'm like a kid at Christmas right now with all these games going on, and then the brackets will be out on Sunday. Oh, what a great day. What a great day. Monday should be a holiday, so we can all just stay home from work and fill out our brackets. If I'm king of the world, that's going to happen someday, but I doubt it. Thanks again for tuning in. Let me know what you think on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Have a great week, everybody. I'll talk to you again next Monday. This has been episode number 459 of The Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv and iTunes.